Parenting is hard, and it's even harder to keep up with the constantly changing and often contradictory parenting advice of any given moment. But the obsession with parenting ignores a fundamental biological fact, according to our next guest, that genetics affects every aspect of human behavior, and every child is uniquely coded with predispositions that affect everything from fearfulness to impulsivity to happiness. In the new book, The Child Code, Dr. Danielle Dick, award-winning Commonwealth Professor of Psychology and Human and Molecular Genetics at Virginia Commonwealth University, draws from her research in developmental behavior genetics to debunk the myth that parenting techniques alone can determine a child's behavior and future. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Danielle Dick to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, Doctor. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when did you come upon this idea of this code, the code of a child, if you will?
So it turns out that there's actually decades of research now that clearly and compellingly shows that the individual differences that exist between us, whether we're talking about adults or kids, about half of what contributes to those differences are differences in our DNA, and about half of what contributes to the differences between us are differences in our environments. So it's been well established in the research, but when I became a parent, I became aware of how that basic fact that genes influence so much of our kids' behavior hadn't made it into mainstream parenting. And I think that really does a disservice to parents, both because it leads us to put tremendous pressure on ourselves, feeling like it's all on our shoulders to shape our children into dreamy human beings. And if they happen to be struggling, it causes us to wonder what we're doing wrong or if there's something wrong with our child. And not only that, but by understanding who your child is naturally disposed to be, in other words, how their brain is wired, we can also figure out what parenting strategies are likely to be most effective for our particular child.
Okay, so I don't mean to make this overly simplistic, but let me just say, like, so we're doing an interview. You and I are doing an interview, and if the interview goes great, fantastic. If the interview sucks, well, that's not so great. But if the interview goes great, is it because of you, or is it because of me, or is it because of both of us? If it doesn't go well, is it because of me, is it because of you, or is it because of both of us? So when we look at a parent-child relationship, so basically you're saying that it's not only the parent, it can also be the child, and it is ultimately up to both of them.
I love that analogy because you're right. It's always both, right? It's always genes and environment that's shaping our behavior at any given time. And when we're talking about our relationships with our kids, so my book actually has quizzes for parents to fill out to figure out their kids' temperament, but it also has quizzes to figure out your temperament, because you're exactly right that interactions between parents and kids are a product of each of our temperaments and the way each of our brains work. And sometimes there's a natural match there, and it makes parenting feel easy, or at least it helps us understand our kids. But sometimes there's a mismatch, and that can actually lead to tension or stress or temper tantrums in kids, and we're not even realizing what the underlying cause is.
And meanwhile, and I know you get into this, but meanwhile, not only do you have one parent, but in many cases, you have two parents. So you have two battling philosophies there, plus the genetics of the child.
Absolutely. In fact, I have a whole section about predispositions and partners, yeah, meaning that we don't always see our parenting eye to eye with our partner, right?
Right.
We each have different strategies that we want to employ, and we also perceive our child's behavior differently. Sometimes one parent is much more concerned than the other parent. So the way that we are wired influences how each of us is moving through the world. It influences how we interact with our partners, you know, what are the tension points, what are the places where we kind of naturally fit, and it influences how all of us in the family are interacting. And so what the book is really trying to do is to break that down into simpler, more manageable pieces. So trying to understand how your child is wired, how you're wired, and where are the places that that might be leading to tension, or what are some strategies that for your particular child are more effective and might help them accentuate their strengths and reduce potential challenges?
And what necessarily, I mean, we know this, right? So if let's say you have three children and child one reacts one way to those, then child two may react another way. Meaning you it's never like it's set in stone. And then you have to look at how those codes of the different kids interact with each other as well.
Yes. In fact, it's a running joke in our field that everyone is an environmentalist until you have your second child. And then you realize, wait, I'm doing the same things.
Yeah.
It's still me, the same parenting. And yet this child is reacting potentially totally differently. And that's also why, you know, your best friend's advice or your mother's advice might not work for your particular child. There's no one right way to parent, but there are particular strategies that can work better for different types of kids. So by understanding how your child is wired, by taking into account the fact that they're not a blank slate, that they all have their own unique codes, it can make us better parents, and it can also take some of the pressure off because we know it's not all on our shoulders.
Well, that is, and that's the point. That's what I loved about the book. It takes the pressure off. So what pressure do you feel is relieved? Because you still have to deal with the issues, but you have a little more context, right?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the challenges is that the world sends parents a lot of messages. And because there is so much information out there from parenting blogs and parenting magazines and et cetera, that often it can feel like if you really love your child and you really want the best for them, you have to do all the things. And there is just no evidence that that super parenting is going to have the effect that you might be intending on your child. So I give the analogy of, you know, when you're pregnant, you know that there's some environmental things that you should do. You try and eat healthy and you try and keep your stress levels in check. But most of all, the amazing things that are going on with your child's development are encoded in their genes. That is what is influencing their growth and development. It's not all on you. It isn't like you have to take enough prenatal yoga classes so that your child grows arms, or that if you take even more, your child will grow a third arm. You know, our job is just basically to do a good enough job that our children can grow and develop. But it's as if once they're born, we're like, okay, it's all on me now. Now I have to do all the things. And that's just not the case.
Honey, Eric doesn't have arms, and I think it's because we didn't do yoga.
Exactly.
All right, you write about the three E's. What are the three E's?
The three E's are three big dimensions that kids differ on. They are extroversion, emotionality, and effortful control, or what we sometimes call self-control. And kids from a very early age show natural differences on these dimensions. And where they fall can lead to different challenges in the household and different strategies that can work better for different types of kids. And so the book actually has quizzes for you to kind of figure out where your child falls on each of these dimensions. And then it talks about things as parents that we can look for to bring out our children's best qualities and to help them reduce potential challenges that might come with different dispositional styles.
When you look at it ultimately of I mean, this may seem like an odd question, but I think you'll know what I mean. But like, when do you know when you're done? Meaning, like, it still goes on, right? Whether the kid is 3 or 5 or 20.
Exactly. I think my mother would tell you that even in my 40s, that parenting is never done, right? She's
right.
Still my mom. And you are absolutely right that you're getting at one of the key fundamental pieces of child development and of temperament, which is that these characteristics emerge very early on, and they tend to be very stable across developmental stages. So a more extroverted child in a young infant, that is more sociability, right? Children who like being picked up and will coo at you more when you're holding them and are more okay with going to lots of different people. But high sociability in an adolescent is the child that wants to be, you know, out at parties with their friends as opposed to, you know, home watching a movie with a close friend. And so it can show up in different ways across development, but those underlying characteristics tend to be pretty stable.
What would Dr. Spock make of this?
So there's a lot of great parenting advice out there and parenting books. And so I in no way want to suggest that there aren't things that we can't do as parents, right? Parents play a very important role in their children's development. Really, the point of my book is just that we also need to understand how our kids are wired. It's not just about implementing certain parenting techniques, that in fact, there is no one right way to parent.
Right. You know, there are generations of kids that were brought up on, you know, what to expect when you're expecting and what to expect when your kid's 1, 2, and 3, and 5. And of course, Dr. Benjamin Spock, which I alluded to. I mean, there's still the, you know, what to do when my kid is teething, right? Those are still things that we have to worry about.
Absolutely. And so some of the day-to-day of when to start kids on solid foods and, you know, when they're going to be teething and different things to do to help with that, of course, those are helpful things for us as parents to know. But the reason I wrote this book is because I feel like one of the things that's not really out there is this big thing, right, which is their genetic predispositions, which actually influences so much of their behavior. So even if you take something like teething or, you know, other sorts of pain and, you know, bruises that kids go through, we all know that kids actually differ in how they respond to that. Some of them manage it more and are more go with the flow, and some of them are more prone to distress and to upset. You know, I mean, this even shows up in things like potty training too. Some kids just take to it naturally, and they are, you know, they have more self-control, they're more agreeable. My child, on the other hand, he wanted nothing to do with potty training. You know, I thought that he was going to stay in the 2-year-old classroom forever, contentedly in his diapers, because, you know, he 3 came and went, and he was still not interested in potty training. And in fact, what happened is that I was trying to implement parenting strategies, you know, consequences and rewards that were not taking into account his kind of natural, strong-willed nature. So, you know, even as someone who's an expert in this field, it's very easy to fall prey to the parenting myth, the idea that we can just implement strategies and they're going to work with our kids. And so I kind of stepped back and went, okay, here's what I know about my child's disposition. I'm also a college professor. I have never seen any kids show up on college campuses not potty trained. It's going to be okay. And to instead implement a style that worked better with his disposition. And he happily went off to the 3-year-old classroom, you know, a couple months later.
I don't think you met my college roommate, but that's another story. Let me just, this is a huge thing. We only have 30 seconds, but it's still okay to read this and to believe this and to work with this and work with your pediatrician as well.
Absolutely, yes. So this book is in no way saying that parenting doesn't matter or the environment doesn't matter. It's simply saying, our kids' genes matter, and it can simplify our parenting and make us much more effective parents if we work with that as opposed to against it.
Well, the book is fascinating. It's called The Child Code, Dr. Danielle Dick. What a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much. Delightful conversation, and I thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Child Code. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.